see. He was freshly shaved. I missed his bald head. I didn't get to rub it.
Yeah, you didn't get to rub it for good luck.
You know? It was fucked up, man.
It's always up. Next time, buddy.
Of course, of course.
Like I told you before, just don't let us down again.
I won't. I won't. I won't, man. I won't. Oh, man, but I want to definitely hear some stories, especially with some of the new people that you guys got to meet, you know, some of the crew that came through for the first time. You know what I'm saying? But what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 66 of Breaking the Mold. I'm Harry KBX. Let's say what's up to the rest of the crew. Energon Addict. What's up, Pop?
Yo, what up? What's good? It's nice to see your face, even though I didn't get to see it this weekend, but.
I missed you, dude.
You were there in spirit. Like, you know, for, at one point, I think we were like, where's Jose? I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. He's not here. You know, just so natural for you to be there. But like I said, you don't miss the next one. You'll be fine.
No doubt. It just sucks. It's months away. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to hook up. We're going to have to take a spot. We're going to have to go to Queens and go to that Thai place that that we like so much, you know?
Oh, that was delicious.
Get that fixing, right? Get that fixing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a good weekend. I mean, I know we're probably going to talk about that in a few, but I was with the rest of these bunch of animals over here. Fun stories and good times. Definitely a good weekend.
No doubt.
Yes, it was.
All right. The analyzer, Brian Brink. What's up, dude?
Yo. Man, I'm getting old.
Still recovering?
Dude, my legs are still aching this morning, like sitting in my office chair. This is rough stuff. It's just, yeah, I don't know, man. I gotta get in shape, I think. And it's a lot of work.
What wasn't there just a RFC health challenge thing?
Well,
shout it out.
I didn't do very well, but I didn't come in last. So that's
well, just from the work alone that you put into that, yeah, you should feel all right.
There. Well, I'll say that I at least I saw it all the way through. You know, never give up, never surrender.
That's right.
There you go.
All right, Big Dom, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Enjoyed my weekend. It was fun.
Are you exhausted too?
Oh, dude. It's not even a word. It's not even the word.
Like, you need to call him something else now, though, Jose, too. He's not Big Dom anymore.
Yeah, right. Skinny Dom.
Skinny Dom, I know. I saw last night when you know they were showing off the group shot. That was a good one, Brian. When you're like, if you could hide behind Skinny Vinny, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, you did some work. That's good shit, man. Yeah, even that first pic I saw of you guys at the bar, I think from Friday night, right? Fucking Dom, fucking incredible, fucking progress, dude. It's awesome.
You should have saw Dom at the end packing up. Now, usually he's kind of like a slow mover. You know, trying to figure out how things fit in boxes, blah blah blah, and sitting down. There was no sitting down. This man didn't even get a cart. He hauled out every box on his shoulder out to his car.
Wow!
And he didn't even park in the back where it's a short walk. No, man, he fucking had to walk through the whole thing.
Oh wow!
He was proud. And it's happy.
Under there.
He's doing 12 miles a day on that elliptical, man. So it's light work.
Matt and Ace was helping me out, so thank you guys for lending a hand. And everybody was packing up. We didn't pick up that too early, but we were kind of getting everything together. And once 3 o'clock rolled around, I think we were all full speed, just packing up and throwing everything into boxes.
No, no. That would have been a sight to see, though, man. Sad I missed that. Oh, man. G-Money, what's up, dude?
Hey, man, what's going on? Is it the same event everybody else was? So it was a fun weekend, but it is tiring. Even I wasn't selling anything. You know, it's fun. It's a decent drive for me to get down there. But, you know, even when you're there, you're standing and you're walking around very slowly, like looking at stuff. It's funny how sore you can be even when you're active ahead of time. It was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Not only that, too, I think there is a natural crash afterwards. And it's not just the physicality, right? It's high emotion, and you gotta be like on most of the time.
Yeah,
and stuff like that, and you know, socializing.
Well, I think for us, yeah, I mean, you're excited. Like I said, you're right. You're socializing with people you're excited to see. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on stage, kind of selling some stuff and answering questions. And I think those of us in the ROC were legit trying to, you know, be excited to talk to new people that we know are coming or people that we meet there that you only see at these events. And, you know, there's a bit of energy that's required for that too. So yeah. I say this every show, I have to remember to take the Monday after off and just not, and end up taking today off of work just because I was just dragging so much, you know, on Monday. And I didn't stay very long on Sunday because of the drive. You know, I think I was there till about 10:30 ish maybe, and then I hit the road. So yeah. You know, I was back up this way relatively early in the day, but it was still, yeah, it wiped you out.
Yeah. And they say, like, no, I know we're on camera doing podcasts every week and stuff like that, but I would say most of us are naturally introverted. And so they say, like, people who are natural introverts and have to do extroverted things, like, it really does take a lot out of them.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Let's put a pin on that. Maybe that's something we could discuss. JD, what's up, dude?
Yo,
what up?
What's going on, meat bags?
You're looking good, dude. You're looking good.
Thanks. All my bald glory.
Yeah, the beard. You know, you're looking all trimmed up, and yeah. Looking good, man. Looking good.
That's I wasn't carrying around all the sobbing that went on. Everyone was saying their goodbyes.
Aww. How was the weekend for you? Good time?
Was fucking awesome. Yeah. Definitely some highlights, and yeah, it was just a good time all around.
All right, cool. Meeting
some new peoples, and yeah.
Nice.
Got some good spoils and
nice.
Got rid of a lot of stuff too. I'm very happy about that.
Did we keep the tradition? Did we keep the rock swap in full effect? Were people trading figures and stuff like that? That's good.
Yeah.
You know it.
That's good. That's good.
Dom took most of my money again. No.
I just gave right to Brian. So JD, your money went right to Brian. So.
Thanks, JD.
Hey, no problem. No, not a problem.
Actually, some of that money went back to JD or Chan.
Full circle.
It's like a cycle. Yes, it's like a cycle. For anybody that was selling Brian, you were selling Dominic. You were selling. Like, how was the selling weekend, Brian? I think last night you said you did pretty well, right?
I did pretty well. My best show ever, which is pretty nuts. It's funny. I was talking to my mom today, and she's like, "So yeah," and I was like, "And I sold this much work." She's like, "Of your own stuff? They have no idea of this. They have no. They haven't seen this.
They don't. what would they say? What would
they're just probably thinking I was selling my old Transformers as a kid or something." So yeah, that was kind of funny. But it was. I brought some big ticket items that some were sold at fair value, some were sold under value, but there are people there interested in that stuff, and I was really surprised that some of it moved. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty awesome.
Usually do pretty well at these shows, man. Like, I remember even like at the last one, kind of like almost like nickel and diming, like in a way where you might have like a lot of little things that, you know, I remember you'd be like, ah, that's $3 or that's $4. Or you'd be like, hey, give me two for that. And you're chatting people up. So, you know, after a little bit, it's like before you know it, oh, you got $30-$40 in your hand off a customer that might just be picking up this and that. Was it more the same this past weekend?
Yeah, a lot of that. I brought some things that were of high interest, such as legend figures. Shout out to Chuck, who contributed to a big chunk of my my haul there, or my take, I should say. And let's see. I was going to mention something else, but it totally escaped me. Yeah,
nickel and diming.
What's that?
I said I walked away with one of your
legs. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. So that's
Lord, cool. Lord Scorpion.
That might be a good thing. Like sometimes, like when you get those big hauls, Brian, and then you're not really able to sift through the stuff and it's just sitting there. Yeah. And then when you're doing inventory for these shows, it's like if you don't feel an attachment, you're like, all right, let me bring it. And who knows, maybe by then some time had passed where some of that stuff is not available. So if you lucked out like that on some of those pieces, then
yeah.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely came home with everything I wanted to come home with as far as adding to my collection, which was nice. I think I really got a good finger on the pulse of that show of what people are looking for. So I think that definitely helps out a bit.
Yeah. Did you sell anything obscure like the last time? Like any of those like non...
I did indeed. I had these plates that were shaped like pizza slices.
What the fuck, man? how the fuck do you sell shit like that?
Well, it just so happens I had a full set of old school vintage turtles that I displayed on the plates, and I basically put a price on the turtles, and I was like, includes plates, must take plates. And it was like, this display is great. And you know, so this one guy's like, he's like, are these 25 a piece? I'm like, no, for everything. He's like, yeah, I'll take that. I was like, sweet. Awesome. My Echo Dot that I tried to sell, which is still a mint and seal box, did not sell. I was really hoping to unload that one, but oh well.
Which one is that?
The Echo Dot. It's one of them Alexa deals.
Is it probably it's maybe just outdated by now?
Though. It's probably
have something better.
I had an outdated price on it. Well, we'll see.
I'm sure it's past the 30-day where you could return it to Amazon. So
it was a Christmas gift. So
well, there you go. All right. Well, Dom, I know you usually sell. Did you do well at this show?
Yeah, it did pretty good. It did pretty good.
Usual for you, it's like Transformers, Marvel Legends, Star Wars Black Series, stuff like around. That.
I try to bring a variety of stuff. I even had some Fortnite figures, but.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Expanding the horizons. Expanding
my horizons. Trying to get that kid generation. It's funny. There's a lot of kids that pick them up, but like no begging dad or anybody to buy them. So it's like, you know, it's kind of, you know, falling suit into that. That kid's just interested in the video game, not even the video game when it comes out with an action figure. So,
Dom, there's a little something I didn't tell you about that. There was a father and son walking by. And the son goes to the dad, and he's like, "Dad, you told me this was gonna be all old toys, nothing I would like. They have Fortnite right here, you see it?" And he was like, "Well, I didn't know. I was just saying, you know, mostly, you know, stuff that you wouldn't be into." "No, Dad, I like all this stuff. You just don't know." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh, Dad.
Yeah. Oh man!
I wonder if it was the same son and dad that this kid kept walking by. I had one of them Phase Life Gypsy Avengers, you know, the Bandai Spirits. Mm-hmm. He kept looking at it, $15 on. He kept looking at it. He came by at least 4 times, and then one day, then he picks it up. I was like, "Yo, $10." And then he looks at his dad. He goes, "Yeah, we got $10."
Shouted him out.
His dad's like, "Oh man, I guess I have to buy it.
Now I gotta buy it." Oh man, that's funny. That's good, dude. Like, you know, to have stuff like that. Maybe just, you know, something. Yeah. They are kids that come to that show. Like parents that bring their kids. So it makes sense to bring something that, you know, you'd think they'd be into.
Yeah, I think I was the only one that had it. So it's like, you know, it's like if you want to make your table a little bit different, you know, you could just spot, you know, put stuff on there that you normally don't think that people are going to bring. So
mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of like the recent stuff as far as like the Star Wars and Marvel Legends?
Funny thing is, I had some Siege stuff, the second wave stuff, but I thought like, you know, I'm like, there was a little extra room in the car and I couldn't, you know, Gary always makes fun of me. I can't have enough, you know, can't have an empty space in the car not filled up. So I just basically filled it up with a box of some little second wave Voyagers and deluxe figures from Siege. And I sold all of that. Like I didn't even come back. Like I only had one piece left after the whole box that I brought. So it's like, I should have just bought that and just brought it to the table and sold those things, because that kind of was selling over there, which was interesting.
Where's Gary's cut then?
I don't know. Gary doesn't get a cut.
Well, I will say this: Damo had a few like new legends things, and he had that one, two pack. What was it, Don, with the bad guy?
Loki and other dude, right?
And it was interesting because you sold one, I think, on Saturday, and then Dave and I sold the other one, I think, on Sunday to that father son, and we used your list to price it out because we couldn't get a hold of you. But I was hearing some of the other vendors talk who picked stuff up, and they kind of referred to Dom as, that ROC guy in the corner, has got him. He's the only one here who had some of that stuff, and but his prices are pretty fair. It's like $10 over retail. Yeah. So
look at that, changing, bro. We got to him.
He did the right thing. I think I was just gonna say, I think in that setting, when you're trying to decide like what to bring there, I had one thing that Dave let me sell on his table, and it was like pulling teeth at first. But Dom always has a huge inventory of stuff, and it's a pretty wide variety. Brian's really good at merchandising. Chris and Kelly put together just like a ridiculous, display. JD had a big display of stuff. So, you got to try and make yourself stand apart versus not everyone wants to dig through bins and bags and stuff. Some people do and they love it. And that's cool. It just, I think it just makes it different.
Yeah. But yeah, I sold a little bit of everything, but the Siege stuff is kind of what sold the most out of my table. So
there weren't a lot of any like other vendors selling that at that show. Like I figured probably,
there was a handful here and there, but not as much as, and like me neither. Like I only had a couple figures just put on the table, and every time it sold, I threw another one up there. But it's the first couple guys like literally bought me out of my sound waves, and then like everything else sold throughout the day. So it's like it was surprising. It was really surprising. And then I had some of the new Marvel Legend figures that were out that just hit stores, but it was hard. Like they that new Avengers set was hard to get, and there was only an end cap available. And I wanted to get some so I could bring to the show, so at least we had some there for people who came. And it was just very hard to get.
Yeah, some of the Endgame stuff, right?
Yeah,
some of that stuff that's been dropping. Yeah,
I didn't even get a set for myself, and soon enough they're going to be all over stores. But it's nice to bring new stuff there, and when people it makes the show so if people are coming to go look for stuff that are in high demand, and you go to that show and you see it's there, it's always gives a good name to the show.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's like striking kind of like while the iron is hot when you have that opportunity. Like I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to get down there because I was intending to sell the Beast Wars Megatron, which I'm sure people that probably at that show were looking for. Yep. The Mafex John Wick and a couple of other masterpieces, which seemed to be like a thing that people look for at that show. So I didn't have a table. I'm sure like the couple of bags of stuff that I was gonna bring would have just easily been sold. So just missed the opportunity. But it's good when you're able, like you said, to bring some of that new stuff and the things that people are looking for, and because it does give that little bit of shine on a show like that, like you said. JD, how do you do? You were selling there, right? How the weekend turn out for you?
Very, very well.
Dollar bill, y'all.
We rented a 5x8 trailer to tow behind us. Mm-hmm. And we brought all of the doubles of SH Figwarts, Dragon Ball Z, all the stuff that I've been hauling back and forth to NJCC for the last year and a half, I guess. Mm-hmm. which was all like Transformer stuff. It was all the doubles that I had. We had a bunch of masterpiece doubles, like the cars and stuff like that. But we loaded up this trailer Saturday. These two guys, they must have been opening a new store. And I did some wheeling and dealing, and they took a lot of stuff.
Nice.
And then I ended up trading a bunch of stuff with one of the other vendors there for some stuff that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I took some bin. I had two bins full of like Alternators, animated, Armada, Energon. I mean, they were like full, like 30-gallon bins, 20-gallon bins or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, some dude offered to take both the bins. He just paid outright for the bins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
Did they have loose, JD?
Yeah, they were loose. It was all loose. Wow.
Did you happen to have the animated Safeguard by any chance?
Which one was that?
It's a Jetfire and Jetstorm figure that combine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You did? Yep.
They're in there.
There was someone that was looking for them later on Sunday, so I guess they just missed out.
Yep. No, the guy that bought them, he was like, I just made a list of all the Armada stuff and the Energon stuff, because to me, that's my G1. And like, if I buy these bins, that's going to knock, you know, 3/4 of my list out. Nice. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Great. Yeah, it's all yours. But, you know, when we loaded up, when we were all done, I mean, we might have had a third left of what we brought.
Wow. Nice. That's good, man. That's pretty good sell through. Yep. I know you were getting out getting like doubles of a lot of the stuff that you were collecting. So it's nice to unload a ton of that, you know, and do well.
It feels really good. Like, you know, a lot of the people that I sold to, aside from the guys that were open in that store, you know, a lot of those people were looking for stuff for themselves, you know what I mean? To complete collections or whatever, you know, and, feels good to, you know, have stuff that was just sitting here and now somebody else can take it home and love it and pet it and squeeze it.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's not just about the, like, I mean, of course, you know, making money is a good thing, you know, and that feels good, but also knowing that, you know, somebody else is coming off with something that they really enjoy, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's also like the other side of it, you know, it's almost like two ways that you could enjoy a sale in a way.
You know? And I mean, you know, shout out to those two dudes that like took, I mean, they took everything from like Ninja Turtles to Transformers. I had Halo figures. They took a shit ton of just everything, you know, and, you know, I still got what I was looking to get out of it. So and they took it off and they still got a deal at the same time, you know.
Nice.
And I wish them luck.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw something, I think a picture partially of like your table, and I was like, oh, I'm going to ask him if he still has that. So I'll ask you when we're off air.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I think you posted it in the Figure Bang and chat, and I answered you.
Did I? See, I don't even remember.
Yeah. I'm a fucking burnout.
You're starting early tonight.
Yep.
JD, I just had a question.
Yeah.
No, so I find it interesting in that setting, too, even if you're, like, any show, sometimes I'll look at stuff and be like, I kind of want that. And I don't know if I really wanted it before or if it's just a show or, you know, it gets you thinking. Mm-hmm. So stuff that you traded for, was it like stuff you and like Chan kind of had on a list, or was it stuff you were just interested if you could find it, or was it stuff you were legit kind of looking for? Or, you know, did the prospect of trading stuff you no longer wanted for stuff that maybe you're like, yeah, maybe I do want that. Yeah. So, did you get anything that surprised you in the trade that maybe you wouldn't normally have thought about?
I mean, we ended up like, I guess we have pretty good rapport with, we become pretty good friends with the Second Chance Toy guys.
Whoops, oh yeah. Yep.
So last time him and I traded a bunch of Masterpiece stuff. Of course we had more Masterpiece stuff this time and he wanted it. Like he ended up taking all the Seekers that I had. So I traded all those, like the eye gear Seekers even, you know what I mean? So he took all those and we ended up with, like, I have a huge bin full of Masters of the Universe Classics figures that we got. So ever since I ended up with Hung's, his Castle Grayskull, we've been trying to build up the
that's cool.
Masters of the Universe line. And she also found... through the same dude she found.
Oh, that's right. She walked around dude, with that thing.
Yeah. The dude with his carpet that's not peed on.
yet. I'll put it out. The dogs will pee on it or something.
You want to make it as realistic as possible, I guess, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, they even went to the links to make it smell like pee.
All right, we don't got to spend too much more time, but how was it with like all the new people that came through to the show? Like, it's just from that group shot, there were a few heads I didn't recognize, like from shows in the past. Like, how was that? How was that experience? Like,
I think it was pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, of course we had all our regulars, and I'm gonna forget people here. I know for sure, but you know, it's always good to meet new people. Paul was there. It was awesome for him to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that made a big part of my weekend. Made me really, really happy that him and his family were there.
He brought his kid too, right? I think I saw his kid in a couple him, of photos. That's awesome.
His wife, Tanya, and his son, Gavin, they all showed up. So like the coolest thing, so Paul and I were standing at the corner of the tables, like outside the Rock Island, and we're just looking in there, and Chan's standing there talking with Tanya, and Gavin's running around being all crazy, but we're just looking at him, and it's like, he looks at me, he goes, now she understands what this is about.
Mm. Oh, nice.
That's cool. So shout out to Paul and his wife and Gavin. Gavin made out like a bandit. Pretty much, like, me and Dave and Bobby, and he was getting all kinds of awesome stuff.
Nice.
And then got to meet Anthony, which is part of a different group, a Mythic Legions group. He was there and palling around with a bunch of us. And Dave was talking to him. I know that. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Yep. Yeah, I had met that Anthony at the ZoloCon. Because he posted a story that he was going to take his daughter there. And I was like, dude, I'll be there. If I see you, I'll reach out. Like, if I recognize you. Just so happens, I seen a guy and his little girl at that show picking up the toy that, you know, they specifically went there for. And I was like, Anthony. He was like, Dave? I was like, yeah. So we went politic in there for a little bit. And that was cool. And I knew he was coming to this show. And I think he had mentioned to JD in a chat, you know, that he would be there. So I was like, yeah, JD's here. I was like, I'll introduce you. And looking around for JD, I think you were taking a smoke or something. Mm-hmm. And once he got back, you know, they were mythicking it up.
Oh, we were talking all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, mythic, yeah.
Gundam, you know, giant robot things, and just the other things that we collect, you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's good that it's not just that, then. That's
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was nice seeing Eric von Wolfenstein.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was going to say.
He came in from Pittsburgh, and I seen him the first night we were there, which was Friday night, and it was late when I saw him. We were in the lobby, and Gort came out with a bunch of games or whatever, like old Nintendo games, and we were all like hovering over them. We were like, oh shit, this is old as fuck, you know, you can get money for this, and, you know, like trying to help Gort out, you know, sort out the games and shit. And I didn't realize that was Eric at that time, you know, but it wasn't until the next day when I'm like, yeah, Eric, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, dude, get in here. Like, you know, don't be wandering the show. And like after that, like, you know, like every time I saw him, I'm like, at one point we were going to dinner that Saturday, right?
And I sat next to him at dinner. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And he was walking like to his car, I guess. Like, you know, myself, Eric, and Dom were walking to Dom's car. Brian, I don't know what happened to you. You just disappeared.
Yeah, I go.
Yeah, you just go. Brian don't give a fuck. He just goes. I said, anyway. Eric, I was like, where you going? He goes, I'm going to my car. I'm like, come on, there's room for you. Come with us. And he was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, come on, let's go. You know, I was like, don't worry, I won't smoke no pot in the car, you know, like, smoke out, we'll smoke when we get back, you know. So he gets in the car, and like, me and Dom, it's like, go at it. Like, people think that we just do it for this show, and, you know, no, it's just like all day. So me and Dom were going in on each other's like significant others and all this other crazy nonsense, and Eric's just cracking up in the back. And I mean, it got to the point where like Dom said something. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why the fuck did you say that? And he's like, you can say whatever you want, but I can't say this.
I was like, that's out of bounds. Yeah. Like, everything you said to me prior is not out of bounds. Everything you say to Gary is not out of bounds, but what I say to you is out of bounds. Okay.
So we had two Erics in the back just cracking up at me at Dom fucking, you know, going at it like usual, which was fun. I think who else was new that came in? We had Jimmy Friday came in from
Jimmy Boston. Friday.
Yeah.
I knew he was coming. I kind of had seen like his picture once or twice, and I saw him. I was like, Jimmy? He's like, yeah. I saw him like kind of like going around the rock table, and he was like, yeah, I wanted to see Chris and you know, Bobby and stuff. I was like, they're both here. I was like, come over here. In like 10 minutes, he was talking to them both and chatting it up with them, which was nice to see. And yeah. I think he ate dinner with Chris and his family, you know, because we all had to sit in like in the same area, but not at the same table because it was like 25 of us or something like that.
Okay. So yeah, it's actually closer to like 30 for that dinner.
Oh, finally. Really?
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was cool seeing him. I think we had some other guys come in too.
Chris C,
and then I believe it was a Jason. He came in. He's in the group too, right? Jason came. He came, stopped by. Some of the older faces that surprised us out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. To see, like, obviously Deluxe was like probably the biggest surprise.
Yo, that's crazy. When I saw Fix and he was there, I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, that's crazy. Like, that's awesome. You know,
I thought I was gonna wake up right there. I was gonna wake up and it was gonna be time for me to leave to go to fucking NJCC. Like, that shit was like unreal. I was like, what the fuck is he doing here? Who else? Ralphie the Vendetta came on Sunday, like right before I left. Like, it was nice seeing him. Yeah. Matt, Asian Kid Matt, like, you know, he came both days, and
awesome.
It's like he never left. Like, you know, Jose, when you say, you know, you don't see somebody for months, but when you see them, it's like you saw them yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Matt.
Yep.
You know, and he was like kind of falling in love with the collecting thing for a little bit again. You could see him lighting up, and she's like, oh, what's this? And what's that? And I was like, oh, this is nice to see, you know?
He wanted to buy some Legends figures, Legends scale, I should say.
Yep.
Nice. It is, man. It is when you're able to kind of hook up and link up. You know, you're just so happy to see the person, you know, when you're catching up. It's like, yeah, like it's almost like no time lost in a way. It's fun to catch up, and that's awesome, dude, to hear that, you know, almost in a way, like what we were trying to say, like not to do. And when we were hyping to show up, like, hey, like you see us, come up, say what's up. Don't be shy. Like, you know, the way you said, like just kind of hovering, you seeing the people hovering around the table, and you're like, hey, you're so-and-so and you're so-and-so, and you just pull them in. That's awesome to fucking hear. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody, and then that thread that you started in the Facebook group, which they shouted out last night on ETR. Incredible. And I've noticed, you know, a few new people in the group like saying, hey, I'm new.
For sure.
Hey,
I'm new.
Always a great thing to see. You know what I'm saying? When coming out of weekends like this, you know what I'm saying? It's not always, it's the good times, it's the work. Like what we were putting that pin in, Brian, what you were saying about being introverted in a way, like I get that. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure all of us at one point maybe were like that. And even still to this day, despite doing what we do here, like with these podcasts, you know, sometimes, not to say that we're putting on a facade or anything like that, but we're buddies hanging out here, just chatting each other up, having a good time. There is a little bit of, I don't want to say work. I'm trying to look for the right word, but in a setting like that, like NJCC, like Brian said at the top of the show, there is a certain bit of having to be on. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's an energy level, I think, that, you know, we've all felt from other people at some point, and you just want to do your really best to, I think, reciprocate it back out and keep that kind of cycle, you know, going, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like you guys like said earlier, like bringing up Paul, like, you know, Paul, you know, has hung out with us so many nights here in the ROC hangout, like after these shows. And, you know, and we've gotten to know him, and just him saying that, like, now, like, how his wife could understand, you know, what this is about. Like, that's nice. And sometimes it does take an experience like that to to maybe make a, like, a significant other understand that. Like, I know Jesse, in a way, didn't realize it until she kind of found her own little hobby. And until she kind of came with us to, you know, Chicago a couple of years ago and kind of saw what that was all about and taking in that whole experience. So hearing something like that is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the reason behind the post was just what you just said, was because of those new people, or those people, not even new people. Like, Paul's not new. I feel like I knew him already. Like, you know, I know Paul, right, but I've never seen the man in person or embraced him. You know what I mean? Like, the minute I saw him, we were hugging, you know, and it was just like, holy shit, he's here. And he brought his family. And I saw how happy he was, like, hanging out with JD, because they're like peas and carrots, those two, you know. That's why I put that post up, because I was that introverted dude showing up at the show talking to Jose and Dust 3 years ago, telling me, yeah, come. And then I come there and there's 12 other dudes I've never seen in my life, you know what I mean? And we're all talking about the same shit. We're talking about the toys, the collecting, you know. I'm seeing how everybody is in person, you know, just not what I see on these podcasts, you know. And it wasn't until we sat down and actually had a meal together that I was like, I think I could rock out with these guys. Like, I like them, you know? And since then, and that's why I put that hashtag, and, you know, since then I never left, you know, I haven't. And that's the reality of it. It was like, it's become a part of me and my life. You know what I'm saying? So those guys that came this weekend, I'm sure that won't be their first. I mean, their last. It was their first, but it won't be the last time we see them. If anything, it might give them more of a reason to come back, you know. Like, I had a great time with those dudes. They were welcoming, we hung out, you know, we had laughs. I want to do it again.
Yeah, you know? And look, we were doing all this, we always say this all the time, I don't want to kind of tangent the topics or anything, Jose, but it's, we were doing all that at NJCC based on, you know, geography and what works. But it was really cool because there's that DairyCon, you know, show going on in Wisconsin at the same time. And, you know, Rob Milton was up there doing the same thing, talking to other people in that part, you know, people that are active in the ROC, you know, taking pictures and little video clips and stuff, and really trying to do the same idea. Doesn't have to be NJCC, right? Or stuff that's in the state of New Jersey. And, you know, and we say that all the time, whether it's a toy meetup at a restaurant or, you know, doing something in the Midwest or whatever it looks like, it's it does become more about the people. And I know I worked a half a day on Friday, and my staff, my team was like, oh, where are you going for the weekend? You know, because it's the first weekend I've had off of work in probably 6 or 7 weeks. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to this little thing in New Jersey. I said, it's just a little convention, but it's really just more about going to see a bunch of my friends, you know, and really just hang out and trying to explain, well, what do you do? And I was like, hey, just kind of hang out. just hang out, and, you know, you get to talk to people that you see in real life. And I always say, I think one of my favorite parts this weekend was just, we went to a group of us, a smaller group, went to dinner on Friday at a diner. And it was fine. It was great. It was just really good conversation. It was like enough people where you could still hear everything and not too large. But I just remember sitting there thinking, man, we have the whole weekend ahead of us still, you know, have the rest of tonight, you have the whole day on Saturday, and then, you know, you get to come back on Sunday. And then it's like a blink of an eye. I feel like I'm in the car, you know, driving back home on Sunday. It does go by so freaking fast sometimes.
You know? Yeah. And then the show, everything that happens at the show is all good. You know what I'm saying? For a lot of us that are usually there, it's work, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got tables, we're selling stuff. So I know, like, a lot of the bonding comes, like, afterwards. You guys hit up a new restaurant. I saw it wasn't B-Dubs this time. Yeah. wasn't that nice? Was the switch up nice? How was the new spot?
That was a Gary power move, man. Like, we all said, like, you know, we love B-Dubs, don't get me wrong, but, like, we just wanted to switch it up a little bit and mentioned it in passing. And I think at first, like, it really wasn't clicking with everybody. Everybody was expecting the ritual. But it worked out, and that's that. Thanks to G Money. G Money worked that shit out. He got there early. He prepped the fucking restaurant. You know,
Brian and I were talked about it several weeks ago, and Brian had kind of just Googled and did some looked at some reviews, and we found like a restaurant and bar that had two locations that looked like it could accommodate us. So it was like 3 o'clock, you know, we remembered it. And I tried to call, you know, do you take a reservation for tonight? No. Can I call ahead for seating? No, we don't do that. So we picked a location that was like closer to the show. It turned out to be the smaller of the two, but it did all work out. I got there early. I just did the same. Look, here's a group. And I originally told him 20 and ended up being closer to 30. And I said, listen, however you need to do to split us, you know, and it was like packed, like there was nowhere to park. It was like people already waiting in line. It was pretty busy, but it worked out really well. We had a good server and, you know, everyone seemed to enjoy their food. I freaking love my food. So
yeah, you did.
So much you ate it twice.
I did. I totally did. I would do that again. I'd go back to that place again and probably work it ahead of time to, you know, figure out like a large party, but it was just one of those things. You never know how many people are going to actually show. And so I made the choice, I guess, and said, here, place looks good. We can try it. Here's the time. And I, you know, texted it to everyone whose number I had and all the different chats and stuff. So spread word of mouth and it seemed to work out pretty good.
Yeah, it worked out nice. Yeah. So you posted a pic like in the gym the next day, like people were talking about your meal. Like, was it dude, something that blasted?
So I don't want to talk about it, but it was so good. Now I did splurge that day because, look, you know, I can eat and I'm very disciplined 99% of the time, but when I'm ready to not be so disciplined, I make sure I enjoy it. And I started a little tradition, you know, where I try to go get lunch at like Five Guys on Saturday. So E Prime and Dave and I had walked over to do that instead of Chick-fil-A on Saturday. So I did have a burger then, but then they had this specialty burger at the restaurant. And I've had peanut butter on burgers before, but it was a peanut butter and jelly bacon cheeseburger. Wow. And Jose, I kid you not, I know you've seen me eat also when I do a cheat meal. You know, I ordered it and it was kind of funny because I've said this before. I like to think of myself as pretty generous, but I don't share food. I don't share food with my wife, like off my plate. Okay. Like I don't. And it was on the menu and I was like, I think I'm going to get that. And Jason Lowry and his wife was there. It was funny because Bethany was like, that sounds so gross. That sounds so bad. I can't believe that. It sounds terrible. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to try it. And she's like, it sounds so bad. And I was like, Bethany, don't worry. I don't share my food. You don't have to eat it. but it was delicious. And I was so hungry by then. I scarfed it down. And then I tried to be a bit slick and just kind of quietly pulled the waitress aside. And I think Brian heard me, but I was like, listen, you can't judge me, but I need to order another one just like that.
You had two of them.
I totally did.
Nice. Honestly. Nice.
Yeah, that was well worth it. It was well worth it.
Utah. So, give me two.
Yeah, it was good. But everyone seemed to have a good time. And it was, you know, like I said, they didn't have the ability to do one giant table, but that was still fine. We had like, I think, you know, four kind of groupings and stuff. And, you know, it wasn't super expensive either. And like I said, it was just nice that the quality was good and the service was good. So, you know, while I like the you know, Buffalo Wild Wings tradition, I think it works in some settings, but we just had such a bad experience there last NJCC. I thought it couldn't be any worse. We might as well just, you know, try something new. So
yeah, man. Well, listen, fucking new doing traditions.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Doing something new is nice. You know what I'm saying? B-dubs is good. We would sometimes do the restaurant that's there and the service is hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? So nothing wrong with trying something new, especially if you find a new spot that actually, you know, turns out to be better in the end.
Yeah. I think the worst part is, you know, sometimes in life, not even in this, you know, this podcast, this group, and just, but you know, in life, when you end up, hey, something works out great, you're in charge of that all the time. I think I think I did it to myself, maybe is trying to be some type of, you know, event planner for these things, but that's okay.
Well, I guess that's the new spot, guys. They have fucking peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Bacon burgers. Oh man, that sounds incredible. I probably wouldn't get that myself, but I'm sure they probably would have had another burger on the menu that would have been.
Oh yeah,
more my speed. All right, good shit, good shit. Well, that sounds like another successful NJCC. Dave, were you selling there? You didn't get a table, right? This time
I did. Are you had half a table?
Half. Yeah. All right, that's right. Usually split and stuff like that. You did all right. You did all right.
I was giving stuff away, bro. I was, yeah. You know me. I was just giving shit away at this point. Stuff I didn't want no more. I just wanted it gone.
Santa Dave.
A Takara MP10 first edition for $100.
Dude, wow. What?
Yeah. Just get it off my table. I want it gone. It was there. It was there till Sunday. Somebody bought it Sunday afternoon. So I was, you know, I was going to ask 150 originally. The box was a little beat, you know. Mm-hmm. But the figure and everything inside was fine. I was like, you know what? $100. You want it? Take it now. And he took it. I was like, all right, cool.
Nice. Boom. Yeah, that's shit like that. That's hard to say no to, you know. But yeah, man, fucking listen, the money was spent. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I have that same mentality. Like, you might be taking a loss. But it's, you know, whatever. You fucking spent that money. Let's actually get into that. You know, with the discussion, I know Dom had brought something up before as far as like the value of your collection. Like maybe how do you value like your collection? And listen, we go through our stuff when we sell at these shows. None of us are really retailers, maybe like besides Dom. I think Dom, well, actually, let me not even assume that of any of you guys. Let that be a question I ask of you. I know Dom picks stuff up like for inventory purposes, maybe just to bank it for shows like NJCC for him to sell and try to make a little bit of money. Do any of you guys on the panel do that like nowadays? Like Brian, I know sometimes you pick up doubles to help other people out in the realm that maybe missed out like on a pre-order or something, right?
Yeah, I will double up on some of the import stuff like Figure Arts or I even got one of those Yamaguchi guys and Figma and stuff. And again, I pick it up because these pre-orders sell out and people miss out. And then eventually, you know, it comes across in the hangout. Like, oh, I got one. All right. And then we'll take care of that. But that doesn't happen all the time. And that's what I like about having this opportunity for us is I can come and unload things that I wasn't able to help anyone out with or where no one needed my help. Yeah. Kind of backfired with me this time. I took all three things home with me that I had doubles of. That's because Dom backed out on me and E backed out on me. And... That's all right.
What was the stuff you had that you had to bring back? Like what figures?
I had a Figma Samus that I had two of. Mm-hmm. One's here looking pretty. The other one was an accident I bought for myself twice. Had the Psylocke, the Yamaguchi Psylocke, which turns out probably didn't have the rave reviews that people are expecting. And one was an Episode 3 Obi-Wan.
Is that the one that Dom backed out on you for?
Well, no, actually it was Dom's fault on that twice. So see, Dom's going to get the Samus from me, and then he's like, nah. And then, see, Dom was going to split a room three ways with somebody, but it turns out I had an extra bed, so Dom split the room with me. Mm-hmm. But that basically meant the other people that had that other room had to put in more than they weren't expecting that. So then they couldn't buy my figure. Me. Then they couldn't buy the figure.
That's
from
how
it.
That's oh, how it came.
I get
around.
It. Yeah. I get it.
So,
but shame on me.
I was like, how the fuck did I get blamed for the Obi-Wan? Jesus.
You know what? It's actually all my fault because it was supposed to be in my room and I forgot the blow-up bed.
Oh
yeah, you did.
So it was either me sharing a double-sized bed with Dom, which is not fucking happening.
Hey, what was going on Friday? Forgetting the fucking blow up bed, forgetting figures. Yeah. Bring some.
Yo, dude, I was ahead of myself. I just wanted to get out, you know, get on that road, kush, bro. You know,
on that kush, bro.
I was sober on Sunday evening too. It's not even that. It's just so I worked, so I had to work till noon, and then you know, rush, and I just was trying to get there. So.
Yeah. Oh, you went Friday too, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny. I had that Obi-Wan sold on Saturday, and we're like, no, we'll just take care of it on Sunday, right? And it's like, you know. I think it's kind of good it worked out that way because I have a feeling poor E would have to come back with like hat in hand to be like, can I get this back to you? It turned out more expensive than I expected.
Yeah, that would suck.
That would have been funny. I wouldn't think anything of it, of course, but these things happen.
Besides the altruistic like purposes, though, do you ever like buy with the intent to be like, hey, I'm just going to resell this down the road?
I did it last year. Mm-hmm. I went on a shopping spree at Target and Walmart and stuff like that and bought some of the latest Marvel Legends, Transformers, whatever. Got the SDCC exclusives from Hasbro Toy Shop just to bring it to the table and sell. A lot of it I just sold at retail anyway, but I just wanted to have something good on the table. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've done that before, but I don't want to ever do that again. That was stupid because I ended up just the stuff I didn't sell. It's like find my receipts and bring it back to the store, stuff like that. Yeah. And some stuff I got stuck with. So, but I sold it this weekend. So that was good.
All right. So, I mean, sometimes it might take a little bit longer than expected, but it's nice if you don't ever really lose. But sometimes we do because like Dave said, you know, giving shit away, you know, an MP10 for $100. That's a fucking hell of a deal, like for anybody. JD, I know you would buy a lot of doubles, and I know you're kind of getting out of that, and you had a pretty good like show. But like even now, like, are you still kind of? Do you still find yourself doing that? Are you buying strictly for your just own collection, or do you still pick up some items with the intent for resale?
So even before, like I never intended to pick anything up to resell it. Ever. So like me buying doubles, that was so I had one to play with and one to hang on the wall.
Okay. Yeah.
So like you see it and all it's packaged glory, whatever, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, you go back through some of the old hangouts or whatever, you see that wall, that infamous wall behind me. It was just nothing but Transformer packaging.
Yeah, yep, I remember it. No inkling though, like of that being like, man, I'm gonna, you know, I mean, we're selling at these shows now, but those weren't picked up with that intent to be like, hey, I'm gonna sell this. I'm gonna keep this closed because it might be valuable one day, and I'm gonna resell it.
No, nope. I just always wanted a representation, you know, to play with and to one to display. You know what I mean? But. You know, looking back, I mean, there were a lot of good figures in there. You know what I mean? There was some of them were hot for their time and were hard to find. And for some reason, like usually all the mainline Transformer stuff, I never sweat finding it because I usually find it.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up on the shelf one way or another, you know, but selling it and letting someone else enjoy it, that, you know, brings me a little bit more joy than looking at it hanging on my wall. Mm-hmm. And I turned around and sold everything for, you know, what I paid or less.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that wasn't done. It's almost the opposite of what Dom.
Yeah.
Cause I know Dom, you know, with the list and everything, you know, what you spend, what you're asking for, what your profit margins are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, all right, that's cool. Gary, like you don't ever collect with the intent for like resell, right? Like you're just kind of picking up the items you like and you just happen to resell because you kind of cycle the collection, right?
So I did that, you know, like many of us at some point, you know, 20 years ago when the Power of the Force came out, and I was very much I was like one to keep, one to open, right? One to keep, one to open. Yeah. And that's where it started. And I originally went into that with, I'm going to keep it in the package because it looks so cool, right? I thought the cards looked so great. The original orange card, then they turned to green, then they turned, you know, and I was like, oh, they look so nice. And yeah, at some point I started opening stuff and had more fun opening it. So I kind of got away from that. So I don't really buy multiples of stuff. I just look at it as once in, and I'm not being funny about the Asian lady on Netflix, but we've talked about, thank you, Brian. We've talked about that before. And look, I actually, you know, remember that concept from an episode of Simpsons. I think I've said that on here before as well. But when something doesn't make you happy anymore, you think it, you kind of get rid of it and do something with it. And if I can turn that into, you know, trading or funds to do something else, I've said I have no problem doing that. And or you know, if it's just something that didn't work out the way I thought it would. So, you know, Sideshow Collectibles makes these. They looked pretty nice. 1/6 scale display cases that they sell on their website. And I was like, you know what, let me try one here. I'm in this temporary, you know, place, and, you know, for a 1/6 scale, like an Iron Man figure to highlight one person, and it had lights and a mirror back. And they're, I think they were like 70 or 80 bucks.
Should have just bought each off.
Yeah. You know, as I tried it, right. And I was like, oh, it looks where I could put it though. JD, I was like, I have like this table. I'm like, it could look nice. Like three of these in a row, could kind of be a nice temporary piece, and it comes apart. And I got it and I put it together, and it seemed kind of cheap, and it seemed like it was really more like a $40 display thing. And so I brought it with, we were going to put some of Dave's stuff in it and highlight it. And then, you know, some lady hemmed and hawed and then eventually bought it, but I sold it for 40 bucks. And it wasn't about, you know, losing the other money. I was like, I don't really want this. And if someone else, like JD said, can use it, great. But that was just selling something. It was time for that to go right away because it just didn't meet what I wanted it to do. And looking at it, didn't make me angry, but it was just like, I wasn't even disappointed. That's too strong of a word, but it just didn't, you know, didn't do anything. So, you know, it was time. It was time. So,
I normally don't pick up stuff to sell it. I'll pick up extras of stuff, you know, for like, you know, Dom or JD, because, you know, we all do that for each other, you know. So if I get in on the order, it makes no sense for me to order one, you to order one, you know what I mean? And then the next guy to order one, and we're all paying for shipping when we could just save on that. And we see each other so often, we could just swap.
Mm-hmm.
But I do sell at these shows just to clear up space. Like, for me, it's just space. Like, you know, stuff like, example, that MP10 has been sitting in a box for, I don't know, for years since I bought it in 2013 or whatever that was.
And, Dave, what has been your Optimus on the shelf?
I have MP, the Hasbro one, the cartoon color one. That one was the
lighter blue with the blue eyes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's the one I have up on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I had the you know, the more dull color, the toy color Optimus is the one that I sold.
That's isn't that the Takara version?
Yeah. There is, aren't there? Well, yeah, the Takara version, not the Hasbro.
Because that's the one with the dull eyes, and the Hasbro has the lighter blue with the blue eyes. And
right, that's the one I still have.
Okay.
And the duller eyes one is the one I sold.
Dude, I fucking remember that MP10. Like an Image anime, like years ago. Like, I remember going into the city. This had to be like 2012, maybe. Like, I wasn't even like full blown, like, back into this yet. Like, I was kind of like just dipping my toes back in. Didn't even really, you know any of you at that point, or really like the community wasn't even like a thing. But I just remember seeing that on the shelf, and it came with the trailer. Yours have the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were selling that shit for like $350, I think, $400, like at that time. And I was like,
two and change.
I was like, that fucking thing looks gorgeous. That's fucking the Optimus Prime I would have ever wanted, but I couldn't justify fucking paying that amount of money. Like, at that time, I was new to like all the high end shit. I wasn't in that world yet, as far as like, you know, like paying over $100 or $150 or whatever for like a toy, you know. So that's crazy. Like, when you like to just to hear, you know, that it's $100, you know, and sometimes, you know, a lot of in situations like that, like now that we're finding like with Masterpiece, you know, reissues are put out, they put out these plus versions. So if you ever had intent of ever selling like any of those pieces, where before they might have, you know, probably gotten close to retail or just under, now we're kind of seeing the effects that you might have to take a lower, you know, actually that the figure's, you know, kind of lower valued in some people's eyes, because there's like a newer, shinier version, basically, like, of the figure. I think that's like a point that Dom like wanted to bring up, like, you know, when we have some of these pieces in our collection, they put out reissues, you know, you've seen it, like, or even like a KO, as we've discussed like many times in the past, you know, you just find that when you're trying to sell that original piece, it just becomes way more difficult. The value goes down, mm-hmm. like in a way. People aren't willing to basically like pay that top dollar. You went through that selling, you know, you weren't getting that 150 asking price for the MP10. You took 100 for it. Any other experiences like that, like from the show this past weekend or even just recently in general?
I had those 3-pack G.I. Joe things that I've been hauling back and forth. I had like the last set that's there, and somebody picked it up, looked at it for 10 minutes and was like, how much? I said, $15, you know? And they looked at me like, oh, all right. Like $15. Like Jesus, you can't find that for $15 anywhere. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck are you going to find it? You know? Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like that's old money. Like I made that money 6 years ago. That money's gone. Like, you know, I could have spent it on anything else, on food, on whatever. Instead, I bought a toy with it and I got my use out of it. So now it's like, you know what? Let somebody else get their use out of it. It's taking up space in my house. Let it be gone. But it was a ton of stuff. I sold stuff for, I mean, even Dust. I shared my table with Dust, and Dust was knocking prices every 2 hours. You know, he would start off at 60, I think 65 for, you know, an MP car, down to 60, down to 55, down to 50, you know? Mm. And that's when people start picking them up because they're like, you know what? $50, I'm not gonna let this pass me up. I'm gonna get it, you know?
Yeah. Fucking damn, there was something else I wanted to say. Dom, did you have any, like, I know like you pretty much get like the full, like pretty much the price you're asking for, like at these shows, but any kind of difficulties with the situation like that, where like a reissue kind of, you know, you've had to maybe take a hit on a piece because of a certain upgrade or a reissue that's been put out?
Yeah, like always, it's, you know, the question was generally geared towards your collection and collecting. There's an aspect that, you know, when we collect something or get something, that's why there's exclusives and all this other stuff that, you know, when you acquire certain pieces in that collection become rare or are valued due to the rarity of the collecting aspect. You know, I'm not take value all out of this. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that it was limited or just didn't get made, like the quantities that were not produced as much as others out in that particular toy line. And then eventually the rarity of that toy is somewhat valued because it's what makes your collection in some aspects is like, you know, you have that and no one else has it because it's so rare. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes you value, not saying that you value your collection based on that only alone, but at least, you know, from a perspective of collecting, it's saying, you know, I got this hard, rare item in my collection and I can value that for that from a collection aspect. When somebody comes into your, you know, your collection room and sees that rare item, you're like, holy shit, you have that. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, just brings that aspect to your collection. I just feel like, you know, there's certain companies that do things like this, like Mezco, you know, rarely it reissues items. They repaint a lot of it, but they rarely reissue an item that sells out or exclusive that's released. And the rarity of certain pieces are valued from a collector's aspect. So it's like, I know, you know, I'm not taking Mezco as one, but there's other exclusives that are coming out. And I think other companies are just losing the aspect of that, you know, being so rare and just nilly-willy reissuing stuff out. And then from a collector's perspective, might not want to collect that line anymore because it's always going to be out there. It's always going to be available. And, you know, what from a collecting aspect of something, having something in your collection that's rare, you're not going to want to collect something that, like, you know, from a line that does that because it's nothing's going to be rare. Nothing's going to be as a collector value perspective. You know, that's kind of where I was gearing the question towards.
So Dom, I want to ask you though, like with that question, right? For me, I can't really see that because, like, let's say Jose was just saying he remembers that MP10 going for $350-$400 at one time, mm-hmm. right? Now, you know, everybody wants it for under the retail that it was. It's an outdated figure now. So its rarity has depreciated. It's not rare anymore because there's better things that are coming out. Correct. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I know you collect statues, right? And if you get a rare statue, that's something that, you know, I consider like, you know, like some people might say a grail piece or something hard to find because they only made so many of them and it's a beautiful piece of artwork, right? But these toys that we're getting them and they're coming out in better versions. They're coming out more articulated. They're coming out with better paint. They're coming out looking more like the characters that they're supposed to look like. So a rare figure from 2012, like JD said, some of the rare figures that he had with the Transformers, he's selling them for what he got it for because they're not as rare anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Completely understand.
So, like, that's all on the eye of the beholder, I think, these days. And like what you said, like, people aren't really making toys like that or making, you know, the rarities anymore. They're just, you know, coming out and producing things. That's because they got to keep up with the demand because the next dude's going to make the same toy just better.
Correct. You know? Correct. And that, I think that's on the other side of the table and how, you know, companies think about it. And, you know, I don't care about collector value because somebody other than me is going to make it or make it better. So why don't I be the first one?
Right.
You know, don't, yeah. I don't care. For example, like for that essay, what was it? The San Diego Comic-Con or I think a HasCon did that great Deadpool, right? It sold out in seconds. It was hard to get. Then all of a sudden they reissued it in a wave. And, you know, everybody then, you know, it kind of like, you know, the people who got the one that was the HasCon who went to the show and got it is like kind of like, you know, degrades their item that they got because of the fact that, you know, they went to the show. This was something exclusive for the show. And now it's in their collection and they have the, you know, the collectors, you know, hey, wow, you got that? That's amazing. That's a great piece. I wish I had it in my collection. But that's not the case anymore because they reissued the same color, the same figure. In another way, I know the color was a little bit different. I'm just saying, you know, it wasn't as the same gray as the other one. But at the end of the day, they reissued it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like companies miss the boat when they do stuff like that because sometimes, you know, having rare items in your collection does still fill, you know, a need to, you know, when collecting things because you have a rarity in your item. You know,
mm-hmm. your collection. But what?
It's interesting, Gary. Get your thought out, bro. I'll go.
Yeah. So I guess I understand that the idea of manufacturing something on purpose to make it rare, but that's a modern take. I think things have become rare because either they don't survive, they were produced for different circumstances in smaller numbers, sometimes because they weren't popular when they were around, like when it was current.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, I guess I look as like we sometimes I think when you collect things and you're in this environment, the average person might just know that's a really, really cool looking statue. Right. They might know that's a really interesting looking toy that you have that looks cool. You know, it's a beautiful car that you have. They might not know nothing about the car. You know, I think there's just a rarity is. Can be falsely created versus it being real life circumstances that have made it rare.
Are you like talking about hype, Gary?
Yeah, a little bit. But I also think about like I can intentionally try to make something in lower volume because I'm trying to market it in a way to make it collectible, and you know all different things are done in that way. But I think there's also a rarity piece of, hey, you know, that's an older item and it has all of the pieces to it, right? And that's usually what makes it rare is to find it complete with all of its stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm more focused on the latter, Gary. You know, I could understand old figures like, you know, 1984, Megatron still, you know, like, you know, original, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it's rare because they're not a lot around, and at the end of the day, having original still in mint condition is somewhat of an oddity. And at the end, you know, having something like that in your collection is definitely will make your collection a collector value high in regards to having that in your collection.
I almost feel like there's a discussion around, you know, what's the definition for a collector between rare and you know, something that's exclusive, right? And correct. Exclusivity of ownership. Because like the Mezco is just one example. I don't think those things are rare at all. I think they make it really difficult to purchase some of them. And, you know, the Toy Fair, whatever that thing was with the ant guy, that got everybody all worked up for that special edition one with the different blade and all that stuff. I mean, it's not, it was the process that did it. It's not that the item is desirable because it's so unique and different. And I think it's more of it's an exclusive sense of ownership, just, and no different than cost can be prohibitive, right? And something that's really expensive can contribute to that same piece. So I don't know, it's kind of got me thinking. Your thought, your question, Dom, was just a good one. I just, it's like what's rare versus what's exclusive to get, you know?
Yeah. I was just gonna say, you know, when we talk about reissues real quick, like think about, maybe it's a stigma because these are somewhat considered as toys, but think about, say, like a Babe Ruth rookie card. Let's say it gets reprinted and it looks exactly like the original one, right? That thing's not going to, it's not going to lower the value of the original one. You know what I mean? So is it just a thing with toys that kind of does that?
You bring up a good subject, because the minute he started saying that, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking about all the basketball cards I collected as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan in the 90s, right? His 80s cards, and you know, any exclusive card that you found in a pack was hundreds of bucks. You know, if you go and look at a Beckett or whatever series you look up cards now, I don't even know. But I did it a few years back, and they depreciated immensely, you know, because you have a change in what's relevant, you know. So Michael Jordan, for us, he's the best of all time, right? So at the time, everybody wanted a Michael Jordan card or that Michael Jordan card. So they were willing to pay $500 for it. Today, it might be worth $60, you know, but they want the LeBron James. Or they want the Steph Curry, or they want the people who are relevant today, because those are the people collecting that now. You know, the people watching that, those are the people who are playing those sports. So, you know, like these reissues, like you're saying, like they'd be worth nothing. You know, a Michael Jordan card today that comes out in a pack is worth nothing. Yeah. It's the cards that, you know, that his rookie card might be worth something.
Right.
But anything later is not worth much at all.
Well, what about those things that are groundbreaking? Let's bring it back into like TFs, for instance. Like people are selling Hercules now for like less than $100, right, Jose? Mm-hmm. I know. But like that figure was groundbreaking, right? I think that thing should be worth $2,000, regardless of if, you know, there's been, you know, Jinbao upgrade generation toys, regular generation toys, the constructor behind me, stuff like that. I mean, that Hercules to me it was earth shattering at the time, you know?
But it's just like what Dave said, it depends on what's relevant now. Yeah. You know, we got fucking the gravity builder, which was fucking blew the Hercules out of the water. And now we got constructor, which fucking blows a gravity builder out the water. And now everybody wants their combiners in that style. It all depends, I guess, on what's hot at the time. And then to go and bring it back, like I'm glad Dom clarified the point that he was trying to get across, because I feel like, you know, to answer that question, then it kind of goes back to what kind of collector are you, and then what are you collecting for? Are you collecting, again, for value, for maybe, you know, because Dom, like you said, that exclusive piece, that rare piece that maybe nobody else has, like I could understand that. Like I see that like in other genres, like they brought up baseball cards. For me back in the day, it was comic books, you know, and having that amazing Fantasy 15 first appearance of Spider-Man and nobody has, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to pay through the nose if you want it. You know what I'm saying? Because it came out, you know, well before your time. It's like people that are late to the game and you pay that late tax, as I heard it, I think Bobby referred to it as I found that pretty amusing. You know, but are, you know, that rare figure, like, wouldn't it be okay? Like, okay, it might be like, okay, this is exclusive. I got this. Like, there, I could understand the allure to that. But like, if that's the only reason you couldn't, like, you enjoy a piece,
it's not my only reason. I just feel like, you know, with my collection, pieces have become rare to the point where, like, I enjoy them because of that there's not many few out there that have them. Mm-hmm. That's can be based on just luck, just, you know, being there, being at the right place at the right time and acquiring that figure.
Yeah.
And not knowing that figure would have been rare or hard to get in later in the future. But then, like, for now, like, for example, in our today's market, there's a lot of people, a lot of companies that push exclusives. And that's the question that, like, we would, you know, have to talk with, get, you know, have that discussion with Gary in regards to exclusivity or rareness. Now, if Toy Fair, like those Toy Fair Mezco figures, those convention figures that they put out, they're only made 100 of them or, you know, 50 of them. And then, yeah, they're really exclusive, really rare. And if you have them, one of them in your collection, it's you know, for a completist like myself or anything else, it's just having the whole set and saying that you have all of them is somewhat of a, you know, a beat on the chest to say, hey, you know, this is my collection. Look how great it is.
So it's bragging, you know, rights. It's bragging,
yeah, bragging rights.
Yeah, you know, I get that, Dom, and like I'm. It's weird for me to say this, but like this weekend taught me something, and it was that I don't want to be a completionist anymore.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, that you say that, because I used to be that guy. I have every Star Wars SH figure watch that's out here. Every single one. You know, I got help from, you know, some of you guys for those, you know, like the Padme, the Anakin's, who people are paying $200 for those figures. Like, you know, and it was great. And I felt great that I had them, you know, I feel great that I do have them still, but at the same time, like, it does nothing for me that I have it anymore. It's like, if I'm not getting enjoyment out of it, I don't want it. So I don't need to complete anything, or I don't need that Toy Fair exclusive Mezco. For example, you had an extra one for me, and I said, no, I don't want it. Everybody's talking about it. This is the best Batman out there. All right, I got three other Batmans already. I don't need another one, you know? And I'm like, you know, cool. It's cool to have that. And, you know, it's cool to have that just in case, you know, 2-3 years down the line, you know, that thing, you know, shots up in price and I need to make a quick buck. I might be able to flip it. But the same token, these companies make those toys. They make that Mezco Batman, that Gomez that came out. And what do? They wait a few months and they reissue it anyway.
Which is what they did with that particular one. Like, you had that convention exclusive that Lam said. At 100, but then they put out basically the same figure, but you just maybe didn't get a couple of, like, the extra accessories or whatever.
Or had that little thing in the corner that says that it's a Toy Fair.
Yeah, like the Gomez was completely the same as the exclusive that came out. I think there was nothing different other than the goodie bag stuff that they offered with the Toy Fair Gomez. Mm-hmm. That was the only exception. Like, every other Toy Fair exclusive, the Blade, the Batman, the Punisher, they were totally different than any other releases that came out. In color, not, like, you know, in figure. I think they're usually all black, and there's nothing other than black on them. And it's just, you know, obviously it doesn't pretend, like, I'm never going to go after those figures. Dave, I agree with you. And in some cases, the insanity that comes with getting those elite figures is crazy. And I'm not going to go down that road for a 6-inch figure. There's some line that I have to draw in the sand. And I agree with you there. Like, you know, I from a completist standpoint, I'll never have all the Mezcos, because at the end of the day, those figures are unattainable for me. I will never try to go for them. Even if I had $1 million, I wouldn't spend that much for a particular figure like that.
If you had $1 million,
I would buy other things. I would buy other things.
You know, so it's
I'll buy Gary's friendship since it's priceless.
Go ahead, Gary.
So I had a question to pose to you guys, and it's kind of got me thinking about this. So, look, as collectors, you can spend a lot of time thinking about what the hell am I doing. What do I want my collection to look like? How am I going to display it? How much money am I spending on this stuff, right? Is it the right choice to go in, you know, scale A versus scale B, three different companies are making, you know, a Transformers G1 style Springer. Which one do I go with? How do I make the best decision? You know, we're thinking and sometimes overthinking about all this stuff. So my question is focusing on rarity or something that's more exclusive, is that an easy way to try and make your collection different than those of other people without having to figure it out in another manner for yourself?
You mean, yeah, like picking out the cream of the crop and just sticking with that and not so much, you know, that comes along with the line.
Collectors just collect exclusives.
So no, I know that, but I'm saying is it done just, you know, because it's, you know, because it's hard to do and the bragging rights piece that Jose mentioned. My other point is, but is it like making the decision for you about what your collection looks like if that's what you focus on? And then therefore I don't have to decide what characters I'm going to go with or what lines or how many, or if I'm going to complete or if I'm going to do, I don't know if my question is making sense, but I wonder if it's a little bit of an out where it's easier for me to say, I'm going to focus on these exclusive ones, put my energy there versus my, and let the pieces try and speak for themselves than to assemble a collection that's posed and, you know, curated and displayed in a manner that really gives it respect for what I really care about myself more.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, personally, I feel like that just depends on the type of collector you are. Like me personally, like that's why I'm glad that Dom clarified his point earlier, because me, I don't collect with that intent of, oh, that rare exclusive or this exclusive figure that right. might be, you know, that nobody else could get their hands on. Like I can understand the allure of that. But if I picked up a piece that just happened to sell out and now it's worth $1,000. I'd feel pretty good about that if I could resell it and make some money. But I wouldn't be upset if
everybody got to get
their hands on the figure. I want everybody to fucking
Jose, take out the resale. I don't want to talk about resale. I want to talk about it's hard to get, but
it doesn't really do anything for me personally. At least nothing that I could feel. Like I guess, you know, again, it goes back to like the analogy that I brought to the comic books. Like it might be nice to know, like I got this first appearance of Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's the original like issue, but I don't think it's the value that would do it for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I collect.
And I'm not talking about the value. I'm talking about the rarity. Like if you had that number one first appearance of Spider-Man and you had it in your collection and you had it, and you know that a lot of people have it
but not a lot of people have it. For me, if everybody had it, it like I'd be happy if everybody had it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if it meant something to me personally to have that particular piece, that's what would do it for me. Not because it's like, oh, this is fucking rare and there's only one fucking out of fucking five and I got one of these. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't think I've ever like bought with that kind of or enjoyed something because of that reason, like, oh, because there's only three in the world and I got one of them. I think that could almost maybe even come down to like a class thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes people just have the means to get that rare stuff. That something, again, if it's rare, you almost have to bring the value into it because to acquire it, if you want it, it might cost you a pretty penny. You know what I'm saying? So value does come into play when it comes into those things. Now, if you pick something up for retail and it winds up becoming super rare and now it's super valuable and you're getting a kick out of that, hey, that's cool. You know, to each their own. But that's not me.
I feel there's two different values there. There's the monetary value and then just the collector value.
Yeah, it's a rarity of a piece
that not a lot of people have due to time, due to quantity, like Gary said, they just didn't make a lot of them at the time, and it wasn't popular, and the demand wasn't high for them. But now it came up to light, and people are looking for that particular figure. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of figures like that do that. But like, you know, for example, like the Black Series line, like the Star Wars Black Series, not a lot of people were in the beginning. Not a lot of people bought that first wave because it's like six inch Star Wars figures. Who the fuck is going to buy those? You know, you can't fit them in the vehicles. You know, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But like people who did go in those waves and got those first wave figures and got the second wave figures, there's, as the line grew and as the line got popular, like there is some collector value that they got in at the beginning and said, you know what, I picked up these figures and mm-hmm. not a lot of people now have them. And that's what makes my collection a little bit more, you know, yeah. obviously, you know, more valuable than anybody who's trying to get them. And then obviously it all kicks the bucket now because, you know, Hasbro is doing the archival line that's reissuing a lot of these first wave right. figures that not a lot of people were able to pick up.
And yeah, I was talking to a guy at the show this weekend, and he's just like, I was just wanted to find a Black Series R2-D2. It's all I wanted to find. I was like, good luck, man.
Okay. No, but, all right, so, but Dom, what if you were not in the know? And I don't mean to cut you off, JD, but what if you were not in the know that they were reissuing those things, and to you, they were still rare? Like, that wouldn't kill your enjoyment, right? So is it the fact that everybody else would have it?
I'm not telling you it's killing my enjoyment. There's a community out there of collectors, and bringing it back to comic books, bringing it back to baseball cards, because I collected baseball cards. I wanted a Ricky Henderson rookie card. Right. I wanted that fucking card. But I wanted that card because at the end of the day, Ricky Henderson was one of my favorite players that I like to watch, and I wanted his rookie card. But I knew that it was hard to obtain, hard to acquire, because the fact that there was not a lot out there. And it was today the value of it was extremely high. Mm. But like the thing is that taking collecting as what collecting is, when you take that aspect out of it, when you take that aspect that it's not, none of these things are going to be hard to get. They're going to be easy available. Is mm-hmm. collecting, like that's the second part to my question, will collecting still exist? Will collecting be somewhat of an interest in regards to acquiring a collection, like, you know, even coin collecting, like having a rare coin and having coin that like, so when companies come think about this stuff, then say, hey, we're going to make it easily available for everybody. Any figure that we make, we're going to make millions of them. And at mm-hmm. the end of the day, anybody can get them. Will you really collect them?
It depends on what the thing's doing for you. Like, you know, JD right now, he's playing with Mythic Legions, right?
But like, Mythic Legions, Dave. Right. Mythic Legions is rare. They're hard to get.
All right, they're hard to get if you started late.
But they're going to be hard to get. We live in New Jersey where in their backyard.
Right, but if you're a real collector and you know when the fuck they're coming out, then you know when to pre-order them, right?
Yeah, but like we all know how hard it's to order online. We all know that like we take advantage of the shows that they go to here in Jersey, and I know the only other show that they do outside of Jersey is the one out in California. PowerCon. Yeah. So, like, I watch YouTube channels of people who collect Mythic Legions that are out in the Midwest, and they never, ever had the luxury of buying some of these things for $35. You know what I'm saying? They buy them for $50 and up.
Yeah. But the cat's out of the bag now. They know that when the pre-order goes up for the initial sale, they'll make as many as people order. I mean, those aren't limited.
And first pre-order, yes.
And they've learned that that's how you got to do it now. And now that there's more people collecting them, that means there's more being made.
But so Brian, we all know going
further on down or that they're going to be less rare.
But like
what they just do? They came out with an All-Star 2.0 wave, right?
Correct.
They came out with figures that are essentially already came out that were harder to find.
And I applaud them for doing that. And I hope they do more. And you know, if they do more, that's great. But like, it's not like, you know, we already know the next two things are coming down the wave. So we know that that 3.0 wave or All Stars that might come out won't probably come out until 2020 or 2021. And I'm like, are you going to wait that long for another All Star wave to come out? Right. So it's like, you know, it's all about patience as well and everything like that. But I just feel like, you know, where people are going is like what you said, Brian. It's that pre-order. Here's a window. You want it, pre-order it. You block your quantities that you want. And once these pre-order windows close, that's it. Which is now going to, A, be able to get in on it. But like a lot of people don't take that advantage. Look at the barge. Look how many people want the fucking barge and never pre-ordered it for $500 or whatever.
That's their fault.
Dude, and, I guarantee in 6 months it's not even talked about anymore.
I probably so.
It's because it's the hot thing that everybody it's that filling that need that somebody they need it because it's hot at the moment, like I said before.
What's relevant?
In 7-8 months, they're going to realize, what the fuck did I need this for? Unless you're somebody who has the means to really display that, you know, and we know people who do, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not talking to these people, but there's some people who just want it because they want it. They have no fucking space for that thing. Where are they going to put that thing? They want it because everybody, because it's hard to get. And is that really collecting, or is that just fucking, is that just being in the now? That's just FOMO. You know,
yeah, it's also hype. Yeah, I understand.
It's all hype. That's what it is.
Completely understand that. But like, I just feel like, you know, it's just I'm seeing a trend. Super Seven's doing it. You know, I know Mythic Legions does it, but Mythic Legions kind of, when they get in stock sales or when they get like deliveries of pre-orders, they obviously pre-ordered a little bit more than what was ordered, and they put it in stock sale going on soon.
Super Seven's doing what? They're coming out with limited quantities of stuff, right?
They're not even coming out with limited quantities of stuff. They're just opening up a pre-owned. They make what was ordered, and that's it. And, you missed the boat.
But sometimes that's not the product you want either, because some of this shit is hit or miss. Some of those figures that came out are hit or miss.
I agree, but like at the end of the day, that does also appease the collector, because you're basically opening up a window for them to buy it when they want to buy it for a fair market price. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, if you decided not to jump on that as a collector or another collector, and now the window's closed, then you're going to have to be subjected to pay those secondary market prices, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, you missed your chance at that window.
Right. I get that.
And it increases your collector value of that item that you decided to do when you pre-ordered that window. Like, yeah. I just feel like it might be a trend that's going to be happening going forward. I just don't know. Like, you know, I just feel like, you know, I don't know. The collector value to me is not important. Like, I don't like a lot of the stuff that I've gained. I never went out and say, you know, I've gotten exclusives before. Believe me, I'm a BotCon kid, and you know, BotCon has shitloads of exclusives, and you want to buy those exclusives, and you know, people are after those exclusives, and there's some reason why you went to the show to get those exclusives. It's an incentive for you to go to those shows to get those exclusives. So, but like, you know, as eventually, as we all know, during, you know, this whole collecting community has been growing, exclusives don't really hold that much meaning anymore. And I just want to know whether that's taking a hit on a collector value standpoint and the collectors in its entirety.
Well, you got to ask yourself that question too, because how much of that BotCon shit do you have?
I have a lot, and
is it holding its value?
Some of it, it's a question.
Not
a lot.
You still have it, though. That's the point. You still have it.
I still have it. Yes, and I still have it, and I will always have it.
People,
because like, but I'm not saying I have it because I know it's rare. I have it because it was part of my life. It was something that I enjoyed, and going to those conventions and meeting all those people and the fun that I had back in the day.
I had a lot of fun with my ex-wife, but she's gone now. It doesn't mean I had to keep her around. Dave, you know, my new wife's a lot better.
Thank you for putting that in that perspective. I totally didn't think about
it. I'm just trying
to
make fun of it, though. I'm not coming down.
They're all gone. Yeah, they're all being sold at the next engine.
The point I was trying to make is you still have that stuff. I know you take this stuff to conventions to try and sell it. Mm-hmm. And once in a blue, like, you didn't sell much of it at TFCon when Reston. You sold some. I sold
a handful of it.
Yeah.
I didn't sell a lot of it.
It's still there.
It is.
It's not really worth anything until you get rid of it all.
Correct, and it's not like I'm trying to get rid of all the stuff I had from BotCon. It's just that, you know, I'm just, like you said, Jay, I'm getting rid of what I don't need anymore.
So back to the whole pre-order thing, you can dig through any of the groups and you see all the crybabies. I'm sad that I missed out on this. Oh, I wish I could have done that. You knew about it. You know what I mean? I'm sure for one reason or another, whether it was financially or whatever, there's a bit of laziness, you know what I mean? You can go out and get whatever you want. There's nothing stopping any of us.
Right. You know what I mean? And the JD, those same dudes, right? Those same dudes, when the next day, they were crying yesterday, the next day, oh, look, pre-orders up here for it, right? They're not buying it.
They're not buying it.
They're not buying it. Or they're like, oh, fuck, I got only if it was Friday.
Oh.
You know, like, yeah. Look, I'm exactly. Sorry. And look, I could sound, make me the catalyst for whatever you want. Call me an asshole. But if you're collecting high-end figures, all right, and you're bitching that you couldn't get it, and bitching that you needed to wait till Friday to get it, you don't have a credit card, then you shouldn't be buying toys. All right, you should have a credit card and some credit lined up in order to fucking.
The funny thing is like Friday, when a pre-order goes up, you have X amount of time to do it, and it's like, oh, the pre-order ends this day. If it were only Friday,
right?
Yeah, I agree with
like,
you.
Dude, like, you had like 4 fucking months to do it,
right?
Yeah, and in that instance, you know, I could understand maybe if something's high priced, you know, maybe paying it in that one shot, but I'm like, you just pay yourself. If you, I'm not saying go into debt, but like you said, if you have a credit card, run the credit card, and then you pay the credit card.
Yeah,
on Friday, like, you know,
I've done it. I'm not fucking swimming in money. Half the shit I buy is on credit card because I ain't got the money all the time. Money.
Shout out to Mervin because he said something in the chat. I've been waiting for the in stock sale for the Legions to go up. I've been saving my overtime money just for this sale.
Boom. And that's exactly. Another
why can't, other option. Why can't this schmo do it and this guy do it? Why?
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same opportunities to get all of the same shit if we want it.
Yeah, it depends. I remember Dakota telling me a story, and I don't know if it was for this Beast Wars Megatron or whatever, or if it was for the Dinobot. He knows that when the pre-order or when they announced the figure, he was going to want to pick up two or three of them. And then you hear the retail price. He knows how much he needed. You know what I'm saying? So he calculated what he makes at work. He knew he had to save for X amount of time. He knew he had to stop buying bullshit retail figures if you wanted to buy that high-end item. And that's what he did fucking for the 9 or 10 months or whatever. Like, you know, he made that sacrifice and he got those Dinobots. So it's true. If you want to do it, it's up to you. It's how bad you want it. And the effort you want to put into acquiring anything, you know.
Yep.
So,
just real quick, Chuck in the chat mentioned that there's this Mezco Onyx Batman, how it was only up for 20 minutes. And Chuck, we're not talking about that kind of pre-order. Like, we're talking about the ones that are up, where basically,
like Super Saiyan puts them up for a month.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know,
it gives you a start date of February 1st, and it's going to end on February 28th. On this is the window you have to pre-order.
And some people aren't always plugged to, you know, Facebook and the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, they have real life shit going on. They have kids, jobs, you know, whatever the case. They sleep. You know what I mean? Like, shit comes out. You do miss it, but that's, you know, we're not talking about those people. We're not talking about those times. We're talking about, you know, something's coming out for fucking a week, a month. Pre-order's coming up on Tuesday. Set an alarm. You know it's coming out Tuesday. You better know that you get ready to pay for it on Tuesday. Right. Or Don't cry on Wednesday that you missed out.
Right. Or you know that the pre-order closes at a certain time as well, too.
Right.
But hey, also in the chat, Sportimus is very adamant in letting Chan know, JD, you should let Chan know that her green Tila has fragile hips.
Fragile hips.
Yeah, so please ask her to be careful.
I'm gonna break them hips.
There,
does her hips lie?
Sportimus, I have fulfilled my obligation. Thank you.
Cool.
It's a good conversation, guys. I just wanted to spike up the fact that, you know, there's some collector value to certain things, and then there has been a lot more in the past in regard to exclusivity and rare items and you having a rare item in your finger. Granted, if it was upfront rare due to it being exclusive and the quantity is low, or it became rare due to the fact that it was just a toy in your collection and out of the years, not a lot of people wanted it. And now that the demand has grown for it and it's now as, you know, a rare as it could possibly be. But, I just feel like, you know, is that culture, is that, is that diminishing due to the fact of what companies are doing and not making anything pretty much exclusive anymore? Or is it just, you know, is it something that, you know, is just, is always, is it going to continue or is it going to come back due to this, you know, pre-order window where they're only making as much as you order and that's it and it's done?
Yeah.
I think it is, I think it's a dying thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much now. There's so much out there.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if you missed that on the Mezco, get the Mafex. If you missed it on the Mafex,
yeah,
get the fucking Hasbro. Like, there's options for everything.
Yeah. And then, like we discussed before, it's like we said, like, sometimes these things, even the exclusives, tend to not be exclusive for too long. You might think you might have missed out. And if you're on that hype train, like that Gomez, for example, like the people that wanted that convention exclusive and they were paying the $500 or $600 or whatever they were, you know, asking for on eBay. And then, you know, like a day later or 12 hours later, they made the pre-order.
Like, that one was that one really fucking hurt people because it's the Toy Fair exclusive that came out that had just had simply the sticker, like Dave said, is nothing different than what the exclusive came out when the pre-order came back up. And the only thing you were getting different was a tote bag and a couple little knickknacks and paddywhacks that were in a goodie bag that they offered to the Toy Fair people that were there at the show.
Did you give a dog bone too?
Yeah. I think the other part to what Dave says is, you know, we use the slang term of the rabbit hole, but there is so much stuff going on that if you get frustrated with a line or, you know, an exclusives that where you're not able to attain them, sooner or later, something else is going to catch your eye out of boredom, out of excitement, out of curiosity. And you know, the Mythic Legions are a great example of that. That I was telling the story to Deluxe and while we were at NJCC and just kind of how I watched this group here on this panel spend the last year and a half kind of like warming up to that line through the ToyCon shows and seeing their right what was offered, you know, each of those trips. And then really getting fully excited about it. So, I mean, sooner or later, it's going to be something else that catches your interest as well. There's just so much that's constantly coming out these days and evolving that, you know, I think that could easily diminish the drive for some of those exclusives. You're going to make it that hard for me? Forget it. I'll put my money elsewhere.
Yep. Yep. And it's definitely going to be up to the individual because I know like my level of give a fuck as far as like trying to acquire something have diminished greatly. Like, honestly, like it's like, okay, I missed the pre-order. Oh, fuck, that would have been nice to have, but who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because eventually something else is going to come down the line, something else you want, or just even a better version. Like, I'm at that point where I'm almost like, I don't mind waiting. But it's up to the individual person. And Dom, I believe that something like you said, like if you know, exclusives go kind of like by the wayside and things become easily obtainable, there is going to be a certain segment of that audience of that collectors there's going to be a certain segment of collectors that it's going to affect them and they're going to be like, yeah, I don't want this anymore because it's not rare. You know what I'm saying? Like they might be in it because it's a rare piece, you know what I'm saying? And that might be their only reason for collecting, you know, like an Indiana Jones or something like that, going for that lost treasure. There is a segment of collectors that's the reason why they collect. So anything like that, like we're talking about where things become readily available and it's not a rare piece, things like that are not going to interest those type of collectors.
And I agree. And then we got Celebration coming up and there's going to be two holographic, what GD, the cards, right? Darth Maul is coming out on a card that's holographic, right?
Yeah.
And a couple other ones, just like the pilot one. And that, like, it's just like that. Like, I know I'm going to go after them. I know I'm going to try to get them. Granted that they're exclusive and they're going to be hard to get. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm willing to pay a little extra to get that because I'm not going to the show. And certain people are going to that show and going to pay the hotel stay, the convention fees and all that stuff to get to that show, to get that figure. And obviously experience the experience that they're going to have. But, you know, I'm willing to pay that extra buck to get that figure. And knowing that I was going to pay that extra buck because I'm not going to that show. I'm not going to go and pick that figure up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, about everything you're saving by not going to Celebration, hotel and airfare and all that. So if you wanted a particular piece, it kind of would just make sense to pay the little extra.
But they are reissuing those pieces. Like, you know, they're going to put carded figures out for those pieces, but not in that particular format. So
I'm sorry, Gary. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just asking Dom to clarify what figure is it? It's a Black Series Darth Maul on a, on a new card.
Yeah, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They're the old figures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the older figures, but they didn't
change anything. Yeah, yeah. Except they, I guess they give Obi-Wan his eye poking fingers.
That's funny. Well, dude, thanks for bringing that. It's definitely a good discussion to have. Does anybody else have any final thoughts on, you know, the topic that Dom was bringing up?
I mean, in a nutshell, if you're collecting and looking at a value of a toy, like monetarily, you're collecting for the wrong reasons. You're not collecting. I'm sorry. In my opinion.
And time will make things more rare. Something I just want to say.
Yeah. I agree with Brian there. That's and I feel like with value in all this is that I'm more towards, you know, just having the value of a toy, not the monetary value of a toy. Like, you know, I there's things that I would go after because they're expensive due to the fact that they're expensive for a reason. And I will work my damn hardest to get that because I know at the end of the day, that's what I want. That doesn't constitute that the fact that when I do get it, yeah, I'm going to value that toy because it's in my collection.
Then why are you selling me shit at eBay prices?
Fuck you. I'm not selling you shit on eBay prices. You want fucking discounts.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just remember, these aren't... I mean, when it comes to collecting, there's different realms of collecting.
Right?
These aren't Picasso paintings we're looking at in museums, right? These are things that are done in mass quantities. So,
yep.
Again, you're just going to have to... You know, as... I'm not going to say you have to wait it out if you want your collection to be full of rare items, but it's just naturally going to happen if you hold on to this stuff for a long time, because eventually they all get bought up, right? And then sure enough, you're out there looking for some old chug. You're like, God damn, I can't find a generation's blur anymore, and you know that's why they're. That's why they're being listed at $50 again, you know, back in the good old days of 07 or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to piggyback of what JD said. You know, if you're collecting, you know, with only the thoughts of reselling it, maybe you're just investing. You're not collecting. If you are collecting, it should be bringing you some kind of enjoyment at some point or another. You know, and I know I've heard, you know, like Dom say, you know, he likes to hunt. He likes to complete his stuff, which is great. So that is a form of collecting. But if you're only purchasing things and just to resell it and not to enjoy it, then you're not really collecting. You're just investing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of like this secondhand Santa Claus type of thing that we've got going on, though, like when we go to the NJCCs and whatnot. Like, I mean, you see guys there with tables. There's vendors and obviously stuff's marked up, right? They this is like a business for them kind of thing. But, you know, for instance, you know, I could see myself selling mythics at the next NJCC for $35 a piece for extras that I decided I don't need, you know, stuff like that.
You better ask us first.
Yeah, I see. Of course, you know, and I kind of like that, you know, sometimes you look out and you get the opportunity to get something. And I like that. I like being able to bring that stuff to those shows again, so people can come and get that chance at getting it. So
it's fun. It's fun on both ends. And Brian, like, you did it for me. So like I picked up the Super 7 Skeletor,
right?
The Filmation, their Filmation version, because I liked how it looked. And you gave it to me at like the retail you bought it for. I could buy it for the BBTS price all day long in stock. You know what I mean? And spend an extra $15, but being able to get that figure at the original retail price made it far more enjoyable than it was like just saving the $10. You know, I can go to Starbucks and, you know, buy someone a drink there and drop $10. Yep. It's it's the feeling of like, hey, I got this at retail. So you're right. It works both ways. It's nice to offer it, and it's nice to be the recipient of it at times.
Right. Like this guy who finally bought my 30th anniversary Ghostbusters. He was so happy to see him, right? You know, this kid who bought a Power of the Primes Grimlock that I forgot I had in the tote. I mean, just the fact that, you know, he was able to get it for a reasonable price. I mean, that was just, I mean, he had to look way up there. I had that thing on the top shelf. And I mean, it's just stuff like that just makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Dude, Brian, I sold a Black Series General Grievous. I had it in the car because I picked it up on at a GameStop last night.
Yeah.
The night before. And I don't, you know, I'm going to pick up the figure eventually. I don't like the figure or what it turned out to be when I'm watching reviews and stuff like that. But I'll still pick it up because I'm in the Black Series line. But like, I know there was a guy on the floor who asked me if I had one. And I said, yeah, it's in the car. But I'm like, I'll charge you just $35 for it because that's what I paid for it. And, you know, I didn't put it on my table because I felt like, you know, it wasn't going to be in a high demand due to the fact of all the negative publicity that it got. And the bad reviews it's been getting. So it's like, and I went out of the car, gave it to him for $35. It's like, you know, things like that. Like, you know, I try to do as much as I possibly can. And I try to, I've sold a Mythic Legion for $35 to somebody in our group where I knew I could have charged $100 for it. Right. The only person who I charge $100 for Mythic Legions is JD because, you know, he's got a thousand.
He's willing. He's willing to pay it, too. He's just willing to pay it.
Yeah, I got you back. When you land a whale, man, you got to milk him.
Fuck you.
Who needed a Halmir?
No,
you need a Halmir?
No, I don't want no Halmir.
$200 fucking dollars, bitch. Get my money back.
Yeah, and that definitely doing things like that is definitely a good feeling. You know, like Dave said, like sometimes when you take that hit, just knowing somebody else is getting that satisfaction, there's a level of value to that because you know, I could easily have spent $20 just having a couple of drinks, you know, and that's not going to mean anything, you know, 2 hours later, as opposed to, you know, I spent some money on an action figure. It's there, you enjoyed it, and now somebody else could get to, you know, and despite the hit that you take, you didn't get the full money you paid for it, but you got enjoyment out of it. You got, you know, it's not something that was one and done, you know, in two hours, like a drink or a meal that doesn't mean anything the next day. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of look at things in that way. And it makes it easier, like at the show, like we were discussing earlier, when you're just kind of letting things go like that. But awesome discussion, guys. We could just continue this unbroadcasted. We'll start the ROC hangout and wrap up this show. So with that, good discussion. We'll run it down the line, get some where you at. Brian Brink, I'll start with you, brother.
Hey, you found me, Brian Brink, in the Facebook groups, at Brinkalizer on Instagram. And that's it.
Swimming in my money pit like Uncle Scrooge.
That's what you were doing after this weekend, Dom. I can't call you, like Dave said, I can't call you Big Dom. So what should it be? Slim Dom, Little Dom, just Dom. I guess it's Dom. Just Dom now.
Plain old Dom.
Half a Dom.
Half a Dom.
Half a Dom. Half
a Dom.
There we go.
How about if you call me by full name, Dominic? How about that?
Dominic.
Is Dominic good? No, you guys like Dom?
Dom. We got to call him Nikki.
Yeah,
Nikki boy.
Nikki. Nikki poo. That's why we can't call you Nikki.
I know, because we've got Nick already in the group, and he's adorable. I understand. I completely understand.
Well, let him know, brother.
You can find me here Tuesday nights, and you can find me in the groups, Dominic Grasso, and, you know, at any convention, scalping my ass off because, you know, I got some kids to feed. And, you know, obviously I'm the only one in here trying to make money. Jesus fucking Christ.
We ain't mad at you. We ain't mad.
Yeah, yeah. Pelt the stones at me, people. Throw it at me. Please.
All right. Energon addict.
Yo, real quick, I just want to thank everybody that showed up for the show this weekend. James Turner, Jason Cooney, Anthony Housel, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Housel.
Eric, whatever. He knows. Eric, Erica Von Wolfenstein. Jason Lowry, Russ, and Anna, and Bethany for taking the hike. You know, like, it's always great to see you guys. And just make that, that's what makes the weekend for me, is like, you know, seeing, you know, the distant faces and the new faces coming together with us, bunch of, you know, knuckleheads that get together quite often. It makes it all so much special. So thank you guys for that. And you can find me on Instagram, Energon Addict. You can find me here on Tuesdays. You can find me sometimes lurking in the Realm group. And that's it. I'm gone.
He's mostly in the Mythic Legion group trying to pick up.
It is true. I'm trying to
creep. If you want to go find him, it's Mythic's Cabal. You'll find him. He's there going, how much?
You'll his sims say PM sent. PM sent.
You guys better stop creeping on me, man.
Gary, I'm going to put a post up.
He's in the Waffle group, too. You can find him in there, too.
You can find Dom in the fucking Hot Toys group searching for fucking every fucking figure under the sun. New inbox only.
Ooh. I don't want used stuff. Know my specs.
In search of ISO. All right. G-Money.
Yeah, find me Gary Allen on the Facebook, and it's pretty exciting to just kind of talk that we are going to evolve the Wellness Challenge group into kind of a bit more of a maintenance, you know, just kind of overall good life decision support. So if someone's interested in being a part of that for the next few months, you know, message me and hit me up and let me know. We can talk a little bit one-on-one and I can give you more information about what that might look like and what the goals there are for it. So it's really just the people who competed in the last challenge, helping, you know, maintain some of those good habits, a little bit of accountability without being preachy or projecting. So we'll try that for several months and maybe just maintain, you know, everything that we've done and, you know, work on that into the next challenge at some point, whatever that might look like.
You're not the boss of me, Gary.
I know, Russo doesn't. You're right. I'm not.
Everybody, just when Gary becomes preachy, just say peanut butter jelly time.
Take me to where it was. Haddon, New Jersey. Brian, is that where that place was
Haddon
at?
Haddon Fields, so, correct. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So, peanut butter jelly time. That's
it was so delicious. I can't even tell you. It was so good.
I'm gonna have to introduce them next week with that.
you know what it was, Gary. You know why it was so good. Your body craves the bacon.
Maybe you know. Yeah,
you deprive it, and then you become like an animal. And you need it.
Maybe
instincts.
Swine is fine.
In all actuality, it's probably true.
Yeah. That's too funny.
Your body needs a certain level. The meat. Things that come out of the meat. Proteins.
I think he knows all about that.
He does.
Okay. All right, JD, let him know.
Like Dave said, thank you everyone for coming out this weekend. It was a blast. Somebody I forgot. It was awesome to meet Nathan Haskell.
Yeah. Oh my God, we all forgot. You know what? We feel like he's just here all the time, right? Because we listen to his music. He's always, Dust is always, you know, talking about him. So it was awesome seeing him. Very sorry for not mentioning that. He's cool as fuck. Better in person.
Yep. Shout out to Nate. Got to chop it up with him Saturday night for a good bit. Anyway, everybody that came out.
You guys kind of look like cousins. You and Nate look like cousins.
We're all hanging out in that parking lot. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Parking lot time.
Great. But, you can find me, JD Brocious, on the Facebook groups. Pigment Surgery on Instagram and Xbox Live here every Tuesday night. And tomorrow.
All new
figure banging.
That is right.
Tune in. It's going to be right out of the box.
Ooh, we don't know. All right, don't give him too much, JD. Don't give him too much. Don't give him too much. All right, guys. As for myself, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network, all at Harrick and BX. Check out Verbally Challenged with Harrick and BX on all audio platforms. And shout out to everybody that showed up to NJCC this weekend. I truly apologize. I couldn't be there. I wanted to meet everybody that was going to come through for the first time. I was anticipating the good times. It wasn't my fault. Sorry, guys. You know, but I'll definitely be at the next one, and definitely looking forward to the IROC meetup, you know, at TEFCon this October. So, you know, thank you to everybody that came through. You know, you guys are what it's all about. It's about the community. I'm a big believer in that. It's the reason why I'm a part of all this, honestly. And it's just been incredible to hear all the stories and everything coming out of the weekend. And that's why I truly mean it when I say I'm heartbroken that I couldn't be there. Like, I know we've done it over and over and over again, you know, but just missing out on being able to hang out with everybody, talk to everybody. That's what the weekend is about for me. You know what I'm saying? So happy everybody that went. You know what I'm saying? I hope you had a good time. It looked like you did. And I promise I'll be at the next one, and I hope to see you all there. And I think just based off the stories that I heard tonight, I think all the first timers are going to be second, third, and so on and so forth.
I think so, bro.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So thank you for showing up. Before we sign out for the evening, remember to check out the Realm of Collectors, where we have a website, realmofcollectors.com. We're on Facebook as a group, Realm of Collectors. We're on Instagram at Realm of Collectors. This episode of Breaking the Mold brought to you by Crashbox Customs, who's the official Mezco and diorama supplier of the Realm of Collectors. Visit crashboxcustoms.com and on social media for all your Mezco and diorama needs. If you mention the word Realm when placing an order, you might get a surprise gift with your purchase. I hear this show, Breaking the Mold, is a proud part of the Cool Table. So please pull up a chair. It's a network hub for like-minded podcasts, including Enter the Realm, Plastic Fanatics, Shattercast, Uncut, Toy Detox, Nerd Rage Radio, Beer and Bulges, 40K, Stasis Lock, 8 weeks building up to it, and Fresh Communication. You can find the Cool Table on Facebook and subscribe to all those other great podcasts on iTunes and Google Play. That does it for us tonight. Thank you to everybody watching and listening. ROC Hangout continues next. We'll see you next week.
Before you hit that button, real quick.
Yep.
Shout out to Fran for helping me win another fucking Fans Toys Hydra.
Did you really? But wait, I don't want. Don't sign off, Jose. Tomorrow's your birthday.
Who?
So anybody still listening to the end of this show, make sure you fucking give Jose a big happy birthday tomorrow. Oh, this is ridiculous. Okay, he's finally gonna be 30. You know, so. Shout out to Jose. Birthday's tomorrow. Annoy him. Send him a song. Send him a message. Tell him how much you love him the way we do. So happy birthday. Early birthday to you tomorrow.
Thank you. I don't have any appointments tomorrow, so
you're a lot of me tomorrow. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. All right. ROC Hangout continues next. Hang out with us, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Yo, Krispy Kreme's in the parking lot. Have a great week, everybody.
All those Krispy Kremes. We forgot to talk about that.
Peanut butter jelly time.